Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous. 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, November 21st, 2024, and today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 59. Reading step 11, stop through prayer and meditation, through step 12, ending in practice these principles in all our affairs, commenting on both steps. Today's readers are, and thank you everyone for your service, Team Thursday, Katie G., Crystal R., Anita L., On the 12 Steps, Cheryl S., Traditions, Kathy C., Announcements, Nancy C., Roz G. will be our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, and our newcomer greeter, Anne Marie M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, November 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, November 20th, Eastern Time, is 21,927. That's 21927. And for the 10 a.m., Eastern Time yesterday's meeting, 21,928. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Cheryl S. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. From Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. All righty, now we will go to the 12 traditions. Kathy C., could you please read the 12 traditions?
Thank you, Amy. Good morning, family. Kathy C. from New York, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy C. Alrighty, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 59, reading steps 11 and 12, commenting on both steps. I will now ask Katie G. to get us started. Go ahead, Katie. Can't wait.
Sorry, Amy. The little voice went off. Anyway, I sound crazy. All right, because I am. Katie G., recovered compulsive eater. And here is step 11 and 12. 11, thought through prayer and meditation. To improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. So the first thing I noticed, and this may or may not be on purpose, I have no idea, is there are 3 parts to each step. What I love about step 11 is that in the AA 12 and 12, it says there is a direct linkage among self-examination, which is the first part of 11, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when they are logically and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. So first of all, when I retire at night, I constructively review my day. And if I'm having trouble with people, if I'm having trouble practicing the principles as noted in step 12 in all my affairs, that's going to show up on my nightly review. I do a nightly review, and the nightly review informs my prayer. So what I mean by is if I'm falling short as a wife, as a mom, as a member of Overeaters Anonymous, then I ask God to help me change, to remove my character defects of anger, defiance, frustration, impatience. And then I meditate. And I use meditation on awakening. Let me think about the 24 hours ahead, right? Like, how can I best serve thee? Who can I help today? We tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters, right? And practice these principles in all our affairs. So I have an unshakable foundation in the three parts of step 11 of self-examination, meditation, and prayer. And I don't know about you all, but I want an unshakable foundation to hold me as a human being who messes up, who needs God. And then we move on to step 12. Have I had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps? The whole point of this entire program is to get a relationship with God and keep that relationship with God. I am a very broken human being. I don't know how to keep the relationship with God. So the Big Book babysits me throughout step 11 and then synchronistically with step 10, going through the day, pausing when agitated or doubtful, right? So have I had a spiritual awakening? Am I awake? Am I alert? Am I alive to the consciousness, the presence of God? Am I trying to carry this message? And I can get really caught up like, oh, I only have, you know, three sponsees and that's not enough. It's not saying we tried to carry this message to 14 sponsees. It's saying we tried, right? We don't have to succeed. We need to try to carry this message to compulsive eaters. And then finally practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll wrap with this. A much more important demonstration lies in my home, my occupation, in my affairs. I can only be a spiritual woman with that unshakable foundation, which feeds step 12. And I can't wait to hear the rest of the steps with all of you. That I pass.
Thank you so much, Katie G. Great way to get us started. Oh, okay. So if you would like to share on page 59, reading of steps 11 and 12, we would love to hear from you. Although if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Thursday, although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you step aside and let others share their experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share and what was read?
Tina S.
Rick J.
Nancy R. Nancy R. New
Carol
York.
P. Nancy
Carol P. Michigan.
R. Carol P. I've got Tina, Rick, Nancy, Cheryl. Anyone else?
Hanayeta R.
Hanayeta.
Jennifer H.
Nicole
S.
Jennifer H. Nicole S.
Did you get Hanayeta?
I did. All right, this is a great group. Anyone else? All right, so we've got Tina S., Rick J., Nancy P., Cheryl P., Hanayeta R., Jennifer H., Nicole S. All right, Tina, you're up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Amy. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow. What a great last week or so of shares on these steps and, you know, coming to the end of 11 and 12. You know, I feel so grateful. And, you know, when I got here, that's not what I thought when I was reading the steps on the wall, especially 11 and 12. You know, who wanted to, I didn't care about carrying the message to someone else. I just wanted it carried to me. But, you know, through following the directions in the Big Book and also the suggestions for somebody from someone who's already been through the steps, somebody who had a transformation. You know, I was able to get to step 11 and really, really be grateful for the benefits of this step. You know, and I love the lead share, you know, when we talk about, you know, when we retire at night, it gives us all this stuff in the Big Book. You know, I just have to follow the directions. And I do that. I do that on a regular basis. And not that I'm always conscious when I do that, because I have to say that, you know, I read those pages every morning, you know, and some days are better than others. Some days I am right on it every every word, you know, reading the black and not the in-between. But some days I'm just going through the motions, and I think that's okay. But what I really love about step 11 is I seek, you know, I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him. And I do that on a daily basis. And when I got here, I didn't want nothing to do with no God, you know. But the longer I stay, the more I want to have this relationship with the power greater than myself, you know, to be able to, you know, to pray for the knowledge of his will, and not Tina's, but his will for me, and the power to carry that out, you know. And I have to be empowered, because on my own, I am powerless. And so once I'm empowered, I'm able to do what's in front of me to be done. And that's about it. You know, I ask, you know, for you know, his direction, and then I just do what's in front of me to be done. That's what a sponsor told me. We don't necessarily know what God's will is, but we can do what's in front of us to be done. And I do that on a daily basis. And when I get through, by the time I get to this step, I'm all about doing step 12, you know, carrying the message. I'm all about that, and to practice these principles in all my affairs. Now, that sometimes took a little longer, you know, over time. When I get backed against the wall, then I'm willing to practice these principles in all my affairs. And I'm really looking forward to hear what everybody else has to share on these last two steps, because they're just wonderful. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tina S. from Florida. All righty, Rick J., you're up, please, followed by Nancy P.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. This is a beautiful pairing of steps, and with 11 and 12, and of course with 11, as Katie said, you know, I do connect these steps together. I don't have much to bring to my step 11 without this this continued inventory process, which they break down beautifully, you know, in the questions for the nightly review. And one thing that I've really been focusing on recently is that little part in you know, in step 11 after the nightly review, that you know, it's corrective measures, you know, these corrective measures, you know, we make our review, and then we ask God's forgiveness for anything that that we need to ask forgiveness for, and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. What are those corrective measures that I need to take? And usually it comes in the form of, when I answer the question, what could I have done better? Or is there something, you know, I should discuss with someone else at once that I haven't? And I put those down in the corrective measures, and I share them with the people I also share my my nightly review with. And then when I'm thinking about my day, I'm looking at my corrective measures, and I'm bringing that into my pausing throughout the day. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, it's telling us in 11 too, is, you know, we conclude meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next steps are to be, and to be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. And for me, I've got that in my corrective measures, and I'm bringing that into my pausing throughout the day. And then I'm in much less danger, you know, and I constantly remind myself I'm no longer running the show. I'm only saying to myself many times each day that I will be done, you know, and then I'm going to be in much less danger. I call it the pause promises. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I become much more efficient. I don't tire so easily. I'm not burning up energy foolishly as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. And the more I'm into the pausing, and then the corrective measures, and the action of the connection, and looking at correcting what I did, then the more likely I am to stay connected throughout the day. And as soon as I feel this, you know, agitation or doubt, I don't have to let it build into resentment or fear. And then I need to carry this message of transformation to others. That's 12, in whatever way I can. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J., Cary, North Carolina. All right, Nancy P., followed by Cheryl P. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. So I'm an agnostic, not an atheist, but I never pray. And the reason I don't pray is because I have never in my life felt better after having done so during doing so. And I tried consistently, and I tried hard, and I tried for a long, long time to pray and hoping that that was going to do the trick, and it never did. And then when I came into a vision for you, I came out of the closet as an agnostic, and everything changed for me. And this whole book doesn't say that we have to pray all the time. It says we have to get this relationship, sort of. It doesn't even really say that to me. What I read it as, how I read it is, it tells me in practically every page, but certainly starting on the first page of the doctor's opinion and throughout, that I must help other people. I must, that everything is predicated on that. So, you know, I did everything that I was told by my sponsor immediately and as hard as I could, and I got better. And not only did I get better, I got really better. I mean, I feel great, like, all the time now. I mean, my life is just boiling over with joy and light every breath. And I can say that still, I never pray. I'd rather shoot myself in the head than do that. But what happened to me was I do an 11-step, a written 11-step inventory 365 days a year, no matter what, unless I've been sedated for some surgery, which I have unfortunately had a few surgeries. But I do that every night. So that's my checklist, you know. And I'm, you know, how do I get honest? Practice makes perfect. How do I recognize the shapeshifter that fear is? Practice. How do I mostly take care of it? Practice. And how do I practice? By doing what it says is particularly imperative, working with others. And, you know, that practice, that doing that keeps me on the straight and narrow. And, you know, particularly was it imperative. Particularly means to a higher degree than is normal, and imperative means of vital importance or crucial. That is the most important thing to me. And so I pick up the phone if I can. I don't, you know, if I can, I will always pick up the phone if it rings. If I can't, it's because I cannot. If I don't, it's because I cannot. But I work with people. I take a lot of phone calls. There's a lot of people that have problems with the God thing, and I totally understand that. And I offer, you know, my own insight, and I tell them it's going to be okay and not to worry about it. Just, you know, shut up and keep swimming. Just do what you're told. But, you know, we're on our own to kind of figure out what we believe in. But my specific instructions were that I had to reach out to other people, that I had to do that. And I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to say? And so I have a shtick that I say, hi, is this whoever? Hi, it's Nancy P. calling from A Vision for You, just making outreach calls. Do you have a few minutes? And it's okay if you don't. Anybody that's ever heard from me, that's what I've said. And I still say that. It'll be 7 years a week from tomorrow. Can't believe it, that I haven't had to hurt myself with food. And it's kind of like the 12th step. I'll wrap up. It's kind of like the 12th step is one-stop shopping. Whatever it is that takes care of me, I don't care what it is. I never think about it. But whatever it is, I feel it most acutely when I'm working with other people. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P., West Newton, Massachusetts. Cheryl P., you're up, followed by Hanietta. Please go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, this is Carol P. in Michigan. And,
Carol.
I just wanted to share today. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. I've been coming faithfully to this meeting since June. And I just want to feel a part of it. I've only shared once. So I just knew I had to share today. And I asked my higher power to reduce my ego and my pride, which were really showing up as fear, and to help me share today. And what came to me in the meditation yesterday, you know, that it's not about what I say. It's about what I say that my higher power is saying through me, so that possibly somebody else may need to hear what I say. And that took the fear away. It took me out of it, and it made it more that it was service. It was service and, you know, trying to pass this on to the next person. So I'm grateful that I picked up the phone today and that I hit *1 because I really want to change and grow. And this feels like a good way to move forward. And I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful for this meeting. Grateful for the steps. I've been living in recovery for 45 years, and it's just amazing. You know, 45 years still afraid to share on the phone. But when I brought it to my higher power and got out of myself and just, you know, followed his will for me today. And I do that every day with steps 11 and 12. And I hope that what I shared may reach somebody else. And that's not up to me. It's up to my higher power. So thank you for letting me share. I'm really grateful to be on this meeting. Thank you. Carol P. in Michigan.
Thank you so much, Carol P. We're so glad you did share. So that's Carol P. from Michigan. Welcome aboard. All righty. Hanietta R., followed by Jennifer H. Please go ahead, Hanietta.
Hi, this is Hanietta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. Thank you, Amy, for your service and everybody else who's come before me today and forever. All the people have come before me. I've been so excited about wanting to share on these two steps because it really does. This is the first time I've been in program since 81, but this is the first time I really, I can't say that. My sponsor told me that I said I wanted to get someone to do a nightly review with. She says, this is between you and God. It's not between you and someone else. This isn't the fifth step. This is the 11th step, you know, and when you retire at night, you should do it by yourself with just you and God. And so it's the first time I've really, when I sit down to do this, I really concentrate on that. And it really makes such a difference. And it doesn't surprise me that it says the night first, because in the Bible it says there was night and there was day. And that was day one, day two, day three. So night always came before day. So it doesn't surprise me that it's written that way. But on awakening is what I really wanted to talk about. And I wanted to set a timer so I could tell. But anyway, on awakening, you know, we say that there's instructions in the big book. Well, this to me is the most powerful instructions. I mean, it lays everything out perfectly, everything. It says we think about our day. We plan our day. We don't want to just jump into our day. We make sure that we're not doing it for self-pity, poor me, and then it's pour me a drink, you know, a drink of a malt. but our self-seeking motive is we don't want to do that. We want to, we know that God gave us a brain so that when we really think about things with God, then we know that that we're put on a higher plane. What's put on a higher plane? Our thinking. As long as it's cleared of wrong motives. If we're thinking of good things, which I always think of good things. I love thinking of good things. I think my life is wonderful. But it's like my kids say I look through rose-colored glasses. They always have since they've been little. Mommy just looks through rose-colored glasses. I go, thank you. And but I do come face to indecisions. And then what do? So what I've done before is I open my mouth and I insert my foot. All the time, especially with my husband. Sometimes I can be very mean to my husband. And I'm trying really hard not to be. And so when I think about my day ahead, I think what I'm doing now is thinking that my day has to be filled with loving and kindness towards my husband. But then it says that I ask for inspiration. I asked him for
that's
an intuitive
time.
Thought. Oh, gosh, I can't believe that's time. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for letting me share. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Everybody has one. Please keep coming back. Thanks, Amy, for letting me share. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Amen to that. Hanietta R. from Plano, Texas. Thank you. All right, Jennifer H., followed by Nicole S. And just a friendly reminder for folks, if you got on late, we are on page 59. We are going through steps 11 and 12. So we have Jennifer, Nicole, and then we're going to take some more names. All right, Jennifer, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer H. from Virginia. And I really appreciate the shares and the lead. Thanks, Katie G. And one of the things that I really wanted to
share about was this, you know, with self-reflection and daily prayer and meditation, that we could have an unshakable foundation for life. And I remember hearing this in a meeting, a woman sharing, and I thought, an unshakable foundation for living, to get through life and its challenges, that's what I want. And to me, that was a huge promise and a huge draw. Like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can do this on a daily basis because that's what I want. You know, that's what we're all here for, some serenity and some ways to get through this. And, you know, and I think this is a huge promise. And for me, just what a wonderful pull to continue to do this on a daily basis, you know, to follow these steps and to go through it as out loud. Simple instructions. It's a simple program. And, you know, we don't need to make it too complicated, but we need to do it every single day. It's, you know, we can't just read the book and then put it away and then all be fixed. It's a daily reprieve. And just thinking about that today, and what a gift that we have that. So with that, I pass. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. from Virginia. Okay, we have Nicole S. We're going to take some more names. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you, Amy, for your service. And these are such powerful steps for me. And, you know, step 11, one thing, you know, I'm seeking to improve my conscious contact with God. I'm asking for His will constantly. And I don't do this very well every day, but I just where it talks about in the big book, we pause when agitated or doubtful, ask for the right thought or action. That pause is so powerful for me when I do it. And I've had times where I pause and then I don't listen, though, to what God has for me in that moment. And then I'll go and blow it. but when I pause and then I wait for God and I, you know, sometimes have to detach from the situation I'm in and really try to get in tune to what He has for me in that moment. It is so powerful for me. That step 12, I just wanted to share on, you know, practicing this in all my affairs. And I can be really, really nice, you know, to program people and someone calls and I can be really sweet on the phone, and then I can just be nasty to my husband or son. And for me, that's where the rubber meets the road in my home life. So, you know, what the step 12 says, if I've had a spiritual awakening, this is going to extend to my whole life. So if I'm being just mean and nasty to those in my family, then, you know, I'm not letting God work through me. And I'm not having the spiritual awakening that is there for me. And it's because I've moved away and I haven't sought God and I haven't taken that pause many times. And so I'm so grateful these steps also go in order because, you know, when I do that, just like yesterday, I have a step 10, you know, to clean that up. And but this is just such a good reminder for me that I just want to run the show all the time, and I just need to practice, you know, taking that pause, turning it over to God. Anytime I have resentment, fear, anything, you know, throughout the day, every day, it's a constant practice for me, and He helps me to remember that it's, you know, Thy will, not mine, be done. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Okay. Who else would like to share on what was read? We're on page 59.
Kelly G.
Diane Ann from Georgia.
Priscilla
Melissa C. Sorry, you guys are going to come back on. I got Melissa.
Trisha D. Georgia.
Trisha D.
Darian K.
So I got Melissa. Darian K.
Priscilla H.
There we go. I missed you, Priscilla. Okay, gotcha.
Did you get Diane in from Georgia?
No, I did not. Diane N. I've got Melissa C., Trisha D., Darian K., Priscilla H., Diana N. probably could
Kelly
take
G.
one or Kelly. Sorry, I missed you earlier. Kelly G. Okay. All right, let's hold with that. See what we got after that. Melissa C., Tricia D., Darian K., Priscilla H., Diane N., and Kelly G. All right, Melissa, you are up. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and, I love Step 11. You know, it makes me think about when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous. I was desperately seeking relief from my problem. And one of the things, you know, that was explained to me was that true admission of powerlessness meant that nothing was going to save me from this except a miraculous intervention. It says, like, in the AA 12 and 12, nothing but an act of providence. And that means a miracle, nothing but a miracle. And, you know, my understanding is that people who require a miracle are not shy about asking for a miracle. And how do I ask for a miracle? Prayer and meditation. I mean, that's my number one, you know, and then follow directions, right? But, I had a fixed idea about what prayer was going to have to be. I thought it had to be something of a religious nature. And this is not in any way to put down anybody's religious practice at all. In fact, we're encouraged to utilize your own religion as well. Rabbis, priests, ministers have a lot to offer. But this is about forming my own personal relationship with God. And in step two, I was told that the consciousness of my creator will come to me, that it doesn't come to me then, but that I'm going to embark on this journey so that I become conscious, awake, and aware of God. And, and that is exactly what happened to me. The absolute, you know, the basic fact of my life is the absolute certainty that God has entered my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. And so I want a relationship with that miraculous power. And I love in step 11 in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about that those of us who come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And I was also told, Melissa, this is the buffet you get to sample from, right? I may have to show up to every event with my little lunchbox, with my weighed and measured food, which I happily do, right? I have a lot of tight boundaries about what I can eat, but not so with prayer and meditation. I can try lots of things, and I do. I try lots of things, and I never have to feel embarrassed or ashamed or feel like it's hokey or feel like it's weird. If I don't like something, aspect of prayer meditation I tried today, good news, I'll try something different. And the consciousness of my creator has come to me, and that's what's required for me so that I can be useful to other people. Otherwise, it's all Melissa power, and Melissa power got me here. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Okay, we're going to move along with Tricia D. and Darian K. Please go ahead, Tricia.
All right. Good morning, and thank you for your service. I'm Tricia Booth, and I'm from Overeater from outside Athens, Georgia. Step 11 was always my favorite step of all of them. Because as I think about what message I can give to the newcomer who's listening on the line, and even those who have been on, I've been with Vision for about almost 5 years now, and it's been the greatest gift for me. And I just thank you, Melissa, also for your beautiful words, because I am right now just reworking the steps like my hair is on fire. And because I have been realizing that I need to go back and really delve more into step one and two. You know, step two is I came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. Sometimes I still think that I'm sane. You know, there's that constant thing of, I think I can still eat like a normal person. Well, I can't. And I have to keep revisiting step two, is that I have to believe only a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. because my life is unmanageable. And I came to also realize through prayer, through that step 11, that conscious contact with God, how dishonest I was, how I was, you know, grazing here and there. I wasn't picking up the sugar, but I was picking up another red light food that, you know, just a bagel here and there. And I was like, no, you are being dishonest. And it took prayer and speaking to my sponsor and just coming out and, you know, just swallowing that pride that finally just got open that door and took off those barnacles off my eyes to see that I was being dishonest. And I was in total relapse, not a slip, relapse. And I needed to do a really good deep dive again through the steps. So I'm taking a good 3-week dive and not sponsoring right now. And I feel so free for the first time that I'm just doing a deeper grounding in the steps and spending just wonderful, wonderful time deepening my relationship with the Lord. And He's, I think, put on my heart. I was even going to share today and put on my heart to just speak my truth and that, you know, everybody just keep working the steps, but mostly is keep working on that spiritual connection, because that is the only solution. And I do that every day with my morning prayers, my nightly inventory, weighing and measuring. I'm grateful now for almost 3 weeks of clean eating, and it is just due to these 12 steps and the recovery I find on a vision for you. And I thank you so very much for your share, and thank you also for all those beautiful people who do such service on the line that make it possible. Thank you for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tricia D. from Athens, Georgia. Darian K., you're up by Priscilla H. Go ahead, Darian.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Good. This is Darian K., excuse me, in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm recovered for today. And I am so glad to be on the line with you today. It's been a little while since I shared, because life is lifey. And I've been going through a lot, and not personally with me and my own body, but, you know, just my significant other and his cancer, and my cat with cancer as well, getting her eye removed. So it's been a lot. And I, you know, I feel like God is with me through all of this, and it's just an amazing thing. And it's that simple. So I just... You know, when I hear, you know, I say to myself times when I hear people say that I do this prayer and I do that prayer and I do that and this, and I think, oh, maybe I'm not doing enough. And then I look back and I see what I've been carried through and haven't picked up the food. And I can honestly say that whatever I'm doing is working. And sometimes it's just as simple as, please, God, help me. I mean, that's sometimes all that can come to mind at that very moment when I'm feeling the sort of almost hyperventilating and the tension and the fear. I mean, it's really the fear that you know, the fear of the unknown, you know, so much in life that we, you know, can't quite figure out. There's no answers, no whys, no, I can't ask why. And so, you know, that 11th step, is just, you know, about prayer and quieting down and listening to what our higher power of our understanding has, the message that he or she has for us in that very moment. And I believe God gave us our breath. We take our breath, right? And we don't have to think about it. Thank God we can just breathe, right? And some people that are put in ventilators can't, and but we can, because this is what we've been given, and in a, you know, natural, involuntary kind of way. And so every time I breathe in, I can feel God's presence, you know. And then the 12th step, of course, is so important, because I've been, you know, staying connected with programs, staying connected with meetings, staying connected with the people in my life that care about me and that know what's going on. And then also reaching out to others. I've done that a number of times as well throughout these, you know, this particular journey, but through 38 years of my various journeys in life, it's always reaching out to others and asking them how they're doing, telling them where I'm coming from and what's going on with me and how God has walked me through this life without picking up the food and without hurting myself or other people, you know. It's just a miracle. It's really a miracle. And if I can keep it simple, thank you. For me, I need to keep it simple because if I start to complicate it in my mind and think that I'm not doing enough, then, you know, it's not. It's wonderful, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have this program in my life today, for sure. Thank you. I pass.
So much, Darian Kay from Massachusetts. Okay, Priscilla H., you're up. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Priscilla H. Grateful to be living in New Jersey and grateful to be physically recovered and otherwise recovering from this disease that we share. I am so excited that we finally have gotten to step 11 because it's been my favorite step for a long, long time. But only in very recent years, the last two or three years, have I come to have a different understanding of step 11. I was invited or asked a few years ago to talk for 20 minutes about step 11 in a meeting. And so I was talking this over with my dearly beloved sponsor that I'm so grateful to. And she pointed out to me that step 11 is not about the type of meditation where you maybe sit in a certain position and have some nice background music and maybe a scented candle burning and you try to clear your mind. That is not what the big book is talking about when the word meditation is used, but rather it's about focusing my mind on my higher power that I call my BFF, my best friend forever, and what my BFF would like for me to do. Yesterday, I looked up in my 10-pound paper dictionary the word meditate, and there were two basic meanings. The first one is to engage in thought or contemplation, to reflect. So it's about thinking, and that's the type of meditation that the big book is talking about. The second meaning is to engage in transcendental meditation, and that's the kind where you clear your mind. And that's a good thing. I'm not putting it down. In fact, scientific studies have shown that it can be very beneficial on so many levels for people to do. However, it isn't what step 11 is about. In the bottom of page 86 through the middle of page 87 in the big book tells me exactly how I am to go about meditating. I wasn't much fond of that part about where we ask only what God needs for us to do. It was what I wanted God to do for me for a long time. But my close study of step 11 has shown me that it's about what does my higher power want me to do. And that turns out to be the best thing of all. So with that, I'm going to pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Priscilla H. from New Jersey. All right, we've got Diane N., followed by Kelly G., and then we'll see what time. We'll see if we have time. All right, go ahead, Diane.
Good morning. I'm Diane N. from Georgia. I'm a Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Thank you guys for your service, and thanks for this opportunity to share. Usually, I haven't been on this real 7 a.m. meeting in a long, long time. But I have been able to listen to the playbacks. Today, this morning, I am so humbled and so grateful to be on this meeting in real time. and to be able to share. I just love this steps 11 and 12. A long time ago, I heard someone in these rooms, and I've been in vision for, I guess, about 5 years. But I heard someone say that in order for us to stay sober, we must trust God and accept life on life's terms. And that's like I have to remind myself of that constantly. And that's exactly what step 11 reminds me of. That's what it's telling me. Stop praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. I've been in these rooms. I've been in OA since 1980. I am a relapse survivor, chronic relapser, but today I'm in recovery. I've been in recovery since January will be 5 years. So, you know, I can have a PhD in relapse. I know exactly what to do to relapse. But today I'm grateful for recovery. I'm glad, you know, that this stuff talks about salt through prayer and meditation to improve our constant contact with God. I have a relationship with God today. He's like, he is my father. I grew up without a father. My dad left us when I was like 6 years old, almost seven. So my mom raised me. I'm grateful for that. But since I've been in these rooms, I had to get a different, it's the same God, but I was able to have a better relationship because I look at him as being my father and he knows what's best for me. But not only that, he wants to help me with every facet of my life, like a dad would want you to do. So I'm so grateful for that today. I'm grateful for this relationship. I'm grateful for step 11 because I know I have to talk to God every day. I have to work on that relationship. I have to follow these steps. My history in these rooms, because I've stayed in the rooms all these years, my history has been of reading through the book, and then picking out the parts that I didn't like. But doing what I thought was best. I was following my own directions, or listening to Diane, and my best thinking got me in the rooms, guys. That's why I'm here. But I wanted to say that I'm grateful for vision because prior to coming, I didn't think that I was worthy. I didn't think I was worthy of recovery. And I heard you guys saying that. And I am so grateful for this gift of recovery from God, from my HP. With that, I passed. And I got it just by we're following directions. I passed. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Diane M. from Georgia. And Kelly G., it looks like you're going to take us out. Go ahead, Kelly.
Awesome. Thanks so much. This is Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I love that this is the subject for today, step 11 and 12, because this is like my reminder that it is so important at night and in the morning for me to spend conscious contact with God. And what I love about that is that it has room for interpretation. There is no one size fits all. And I've had sponsors before who say you need 30 minutes of prayer and meditation every single day. And I tried it, right? I'm willing to go to any lengths. I tried to do 30 minutes every single day for 6 months, and I did it. And I didn't feel closer to God by following that direction. What I felt was it was more of a checklist for me. My morning meditation, my prayer and meditation at night, you know, I can't stay in between the lines of what I'm told from a sponsor, from a spiritual advisor. I have to find that connection, that dance, that rhythm within myself. And that's what works for me. And it looks different every single day. And sometimes my mornings, it's realistic. I'm human, right? So some mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't have enough time, or, you know, I wake up and I have plenty of time and then I get distracted. But it's like, I need to acknowledge God no matter what, morning and night. And sometimes it's longer than others. Sometimes it's throughout the day where I'm just like driving to work and it's like, God, I'm so sorry I didn't spend enough time with you this morning. So it's me and you right now, and just have free conversation. And I think it's really intimidating, especially I was very intimidated when I hear people say like they're spending an hour in the morning with God. They wish they could spend 2 hours. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't even relate to that. I just feel like time goes so slow and I would be still. And you know, it's always a work in progress. But what I want to hone in on with this step is more so like use your own interpretation that makes you feel connected. A dear friend of mine in program does a moving meditation, and that's good for her. And, you know, it's really some mornings for me, it's journaling. Some mornings for me, it's just sitting quiet. Some mornings it's, you know, some spiritual music my sponsor sends me. My favorite mornings are when two of my dear sisters in program, you know, we meet together on Zoom and we just do together prayer and meditation. Whatever it looks like, as long as it gets done, for me, that's a win. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kelly G. from Florida. And thank you, everyone. What a wonderful meeting. Who has shared? Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's meeting, the 7 a.m. November 21st, 2024 meeting, is 21,934. That's 21934. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Crystal R. please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Amy. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.